There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is Travis Ryer checking in with you once again, this time live on a Thursday afternoon, August the 21st, right around 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. A little bit of a newsy Thursday coming out of Tuscaloosa. You had your permanent captains announced by the University of Alabama football program. No surprise on a couple of fronts. I don't really think any of the four constitute a surprise. Certainly Deontay Lawson doesn't. He's a two-timer now. He joins that two-time permanent captain group. Pretty illustrious group. A couple of quarterbacks that have been in that group. And a couple of linebackers, too. I think, was C.J. Mosley a two-timer? There's been some two-timers for sure, including right here in the recent past. But first and foremost, want to welcome you to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we hope you'll take the time to do that right now. If you'd also hit that like button, a thumbs up, that would help us out tremendously as well. And be sure to turn on those notifications. That way, pretty random sometimes in how we drop things, you'll get alerted to our content as it drops here on the channel. But yeah, Tim Keenan, fifth year senior, kind of expect that in terms of getting the vote of his peers. And it's kind of important to note that this is a vote by your teammates. I think it takes on additional meaning if you're one of these four guys to have that sort of honor bestowed upon you. Tim Keenan, Deontay Lawson on the defensive side. You know, Chase and I talked about this on Talking Tide here on the channel a couple nights ago. He brought up the topic and mentioned that perhaps it would be the three SEC Media Day representatives. Keenan, Lawson, and Caden Proctor. But on the offensive side, no Caden Proctor. Actually, a couple of guys we did mention on the show the other night as possibilities. Chase brought up Ty Simpson. I wasn't as sure if Ty would have had the time to sort of garner that recognition from his teammates. But then when you think about it, this isn't a transfer. This isn't a first or even second year guy. This is a vet who has been around. So he has certainly had the time to sort of make that impression on his teammates. And now that he is the starter, it certainly makes a lot of sense for him to get that designation. And then also a guy I brought up on Tuesday night here on the show was Parker Brailsford, the Washington transfer. So when you think about these four captains, three are what I would call grassroots guys, guys that Alabama recruited, guys that Alabama has developed. When you talk about Ty Simpson, you talk about Deontay Lawson, you talk about Tim Keenan, and then you do have one transfer. What I like and where I think this aligns with Alabama's potential as a national championship kind of team, doesn't mean they'll win it, but to match the roster, I like what these four captains say about maybe more the intangibles of this team, which you wonder about a little bit, especially when you go through some transformation at some key spots where leadership is going to be a big part of the equation. But right up the middle of this football team, center, quarterback, on the ball defensively with Keenan, and then also your green dot in Deontay Lawson, essentially your quarterback on the defensive side. You've got that lined up between those four guys. And so I think that speaks positively. It's encouraging. It's another encouraging sign. Now, does it guarantee anything? No, because just in terms of the quarterback position, we've seen a run here of quarterbacks as permanent team captains. I think one of those guys in that run as the starter at quarterback won a national championship, Mac Jones in 2020. Tua didn't do it as a starter. Milroe didn't do it as a starter. Bryce did not do it as a two-time captain as a starter. Now, Bryce and Jalen did win Southeastern Conference titles. That's the thing about this run that Alabama's been on. It's national championship or nothing it seems like. But you think about Bryce Young and Jalen Milroe getting wins over Georgia, a two-time back-to-back national champion in the middle of this stretch. It's pretty impressive, but it just kind of gets overlooked. But again, I think it is a good sign. You know, we talked about also on Tuesday night some other possibilities. Jam Miller was a guy we talked about for some of the reasons that a couple of three of these other guys are in that spot coming out of today's announcement. I think Jam, you probably could have made a strong case for without knowing exactly when the vote took place, though. Maybe Jam going out could have hurt him. You know, don't know for sure about that. You know, Caden Proctor was an interesting guy because into what Chase was talking about, and we talked about here on the show, you can connect some dots a lot of years when you've got SEC Media Days representatives, and more so under Saban, December, it would kind of align with your permanent team captains, but not so much for Caden. And look, you know, Caden, he probably hasn't been in the mix enough when you talk about a team vote. That would be my guess. I mean, because after his freshman season, this is a guy actually left Alabama and came back. And so missed all of that offseason after his freshman season. Then he was injured coming back from injury through this last offseason. And then you continue to hear some things like Ryan Grubb. And I don't want to turn this into a beat up on Caden Proctor thing. It's just something that I've talked about a lot during the offseason, the importance of him taking another step. And with it starting in the offseason program, you know, we hear from Ryan Grubb a couple of days ago that, you know, Caden's still trying to get there physically. You know, so you think about these long, hard days that these guys go through this time of year. I got to think, when you have a vote for a captainship at the end of that stretch, maybe at the close of camp, if you're going to be one of those four guys, you better be front running every day. You better be at the top of the group. You better be at the top of the 110s. You better be at the top of just about everything your position group, your side of the football does on a daily basis. So again, from that perspective, veteran leadership, guys who are in positions where it's utterly important for them to display leadership on a daily basis, it's good stuff, I think, with Ty Simpson, Deontay Lawson, Tim Keenan, and also the center position there. So, you know, other things we want to talk about. We heard from Kalen DeBoer. We heard from Kalen DeBoer. You know, my problem with Parker Brailsford is I always want to say Darian Dalcourt. He kind of just reminds me of Darian Dalcourt. Not the same number, but it's where I get thrown off a little bit with the big man over the football for Alabama these days. But Kalen DeBoer was asked about a number of topics following Thursday's practice. Talked about some of the initial preparation for Florida State. We kind of anticipated that either today or in the very near future. And it sounds like that has gone into full swing. And, you know, we've talked on the channel a little bit about Florida State making some wholesale changes, kind of those changes at the coordinator level that you make before you make a change potentially at the head coach level. That's what Florida State's working on right now. Gus Malzahn obviously highlighting that. But the Noles also going through a change defensively to a 3-3-5. A lot of different personnel for Florida State on both sides of the football. Hopeful that the approach from 2 years ago, when that was a team on the cusp of making the college football playoff, only to come up a little bit short, can kind of rekindle that portal magic. But so the preparation begins in earnest. And then, you know, kind of on some injury fronts too, Kalen was able to get on record about Jam Miller, said he was going to be week to week at this point, definitely, or in all likelihood, out for Florida State. You know, Jane Roberts, you're starting to put on doubtful sort of watch for Florida State because of the concussion protocol and the extended stretch that he has dealt with that. And also because, you know, you got a couple of guys that it feels like they think they can count on, and Cam Dewberry and Geno Vandermark. So that's going to be interesting to continue to track. Good news from Kalen and also Kane Womack yesterday, I guess, with James Smith having returned to practice. And then the kicking situation. And we heard it from Kalen DeBoer again today, man, when he talked about, Connor Talty, and had a great day today. And as we know, that was over at the practice facility. That wasn't in the stadium. Apparently, it's been more of an issue for Connor Talty when he kicks in Bryant-Denny Stadium. I guess the good news on that front is Alabama doesn't open in Bryant-Denny Stadium. They open at Doak Campbell in Tallahassee. So, maybe it's more of a Bryant-Denny thing right now for Connor Talty than just anywhere else. Just kick anywhere else. Now, of course, we know eventually you're going to have to come back to Bryant-Denny Stadium, but maybe Alabama goes to Florida State. Connor has a good game in a stadium setting. And, we see him go from there. So more talk about Connor Talty, more talk about Blake Dowd in all likelihood. Going to be your starting punter taking over for James Burnup. Had a James Burnup sighting over the weekend with the New Orleans Saints against our Jacksonville Jaguars. But, Dowd, Colorado School of Mines, and had a pretty good average out there. Veteran guy, not at this level, but it sounds like he's on an extended stretch here of late, the last week or two, that he's been more in line with that nearly 47 yards per punt he averaged at his last stop in 2024. And we talked about it before, a little difference in altitude when you're looking at the Colorado School of Mines in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. DJam checking in, offers up a Roll Tide roll. Thank you, DJam. Thank you for tuning in. If you've got any questions, comments, thoughts, go ahead and throw them up here in the chat. We're just kind of spitballing on a Thursday afternoon, again, talking about the captains that have been elected by their teammates at the University of Alabama. Guys right up the middle of the football team. Guys that are critical in terms of leadership and intangibles. Quarterback, middle linebacker. And then a couple of war daddy types, right, on the ball. Tim Keenan defensively. And then Parker Brailsford. When you talk about the offensive side of the football. What else did we hear from Kalen DeBoer on Thursday that maybe we wanted to touch on? Jalen Mbakwe is always an interesting topic. And, the continued development of Bach now on the offensive side of the ball. And there's always that sort of wild card with him when you talk about the return game. Just kind of listening to DeBoer today set a, complimentary things, but more used terminology like, or phrasing like, in the mix with other guys. And look, maybe there's still some decision-making that's going on in terms of primary punt return guy. But when you bring back Ryan Williams and Cole Adams, it's not like you don't have a couple of already baked in legitimate options to go along with Bach. So it very well could be an in the mix situation. And then, I don't think it's a surprise that Mbakwe at this point is still fighting for a mid rotation spot and perhaps fighting for something more along the lines of 5-6 than 4-5. That's due in large part because Alabama has some guys in front of them. There wasn't this sort of mass exodus. There were some departures, no doubt. But when you think about Ryan Williams coming back, Jeremy Bernard coming back, and then Isaiah Horton comes in, that portal can help you kind of ascend the depth chart. But then there's the other side of it where you're bringing guys in that can kind of keep you down the depth chart a little bit. And in Mbakwe right now, he kind of reminds me of a guy Alabama lost to the portal. He kind of reminds me of Kendrick Law right now. That's kind of the place that he seems to find himself in playmaker, great football player. You think about Kendrick Law, you know, coming out of high school in Shreveport, Louisiana. Go back and watch Kendrick Law's high school tape. He could do it all, just like Mbakwe could coming out of Clay Chalkville. The thing with Kendrick was he wasn't a natural receiver, but he was still a guy that you wanted on the field as much as anything because of physicality that he brought and his willingness and his ability as a blocker. And you could build in touches for him. You could get him on the jet sweep. That's kind of what I envision for Mbakwe right now. If we see him in a game situation, if I were Florida State and I saw Mbakwe on the field on August the 30th and there were pre-snap motion involving him, my edges would be on alert for jet or fly sweep or whatever you want to call it. Or maybe you throw it to him out in the flat, do some things like that. Really talented football player, still trying to cement himself as a positional player in the Southeastern Conference. And you can be immensely talented, but it's still probably going to take you a little bit of time and no guarantees for sure. Just look at the situations we outlined right there. Some other stuff from Kalen DeBoer here on a Thursday. I had some stuff I wanted to get to. I need to work on this note process that I do here. We talked about the injury situation, you know, and how some of that's going to impact this team potentially. I thought, you know, Kalen was asked about an area of the team that maybe has taken the biggest step, has made the biggest strides, and he went into linebacker talk. But, you know, he was talking about Nakai Hill-Green. He was talking about Deontay Lawson, which to hear Kane Womack yesterday and then Kalen sort of reaffirm it today, nothing short of amazing that Deontay Lawson, after an ACL in mid-November of last season, to hear Womack and DeBoer talk, this guy, it doesn't sound like anyway, against Florida State is really going to be on much of a pitch count. Does that mean that Womack and the staff won't still build in reps for, say, Nakai Hill-Green, assuming Justin Jefferson is the off-the-ball linebacker against the Seminoles? No, I'd actually anticipate seeing Nakai Hill-Green regardless, because as much as anything, as we've seen from Kane Womack and we've heard from him even here in the last week or so, if he feels like he's got guys that are starter caliber, he's going to put them out there. And he talked about that with Dejon Lee today too. And I thought it was interesting that he also mentioned with Damani Jackson that, you know, there had been some time missed, and there was. Damani missed some time, but Damani's at a point in his career, in his development arc, that 4 years kind of into it, you would think missing spring wouldn't be that big of a deal, or being very limited even in the offseason for a returning starter, a veteran starter, coming back at a position. I think it's, again, just that Lee is going to be too good to keep off the field, right? And combine that with Womack's approach and his willingness to sort of rotate capable guys in there, I think that's as much of what it's about than probably anything else. And again, you know, Deontay is, that's just pretty amazing when you think about it. And even with today's medicine, today's technology, to be in that sort of place. And, you know, Kane talked about it yesterday too, that Deontay changed his body a little bit going into this season and going through this last offseason. And even the first, I guess, practice watch along we did here on the channel for fall camp a couple of weeks ago now, I guess, that was one of the things I noticed about Deontay, especially when they were just in shorts and helmets, was that he did look more streamlined. Now, look, he wasn't 245 last season, but I thought it was still noticeable that he didn't really look even 230-ish or 235-ish. You know, he looked 220-ish, which is probably had something to do, I'm sure, with his ability to play as fast as he's playing right now. And here's the other thing with that too, though. there's the mental side of that thing, that coming back from that kind of injury, there's a lot of guys that can't just, they just can't cut it loose because of the mental aspect of it. So apparently that hadn't been a problem for Deontay, and the bonus that you get with him coming back, not only in terms of on the field production potential, but then also, you know, what you're getting with a two-time captain now. It's all over this football team. You know, after last season, if you would have told me that the captain options would be what they are today, I probably wouldn't have believed you, because then I would have had to have believed that, you know, guys like Jeremy Bernard were coming back. You could have mentioned him, like Brailsford, really. Brailsford's coming back. Keenan's coming back. Now, you know, Lawson's coming back in large part, sure, because of the injury. Damani Jackson coming back. That type of fourth, fifth year type of experience, that's another good thing, obviously, for this Alabama football team. If you don't have any questions or any more comments, Hans Friesen, where you at, Hans? That sounds like maybe Hans and Franz. He's here to pump us up, Hans. Hans may be checking in from Austria or something over there. Who knows? But we do appreciate you, Hans, and we appreciate each and every one of you for chiming in. Just wanted to jump on for a little bit, talk about the captain selection process. Tonight here on the channel, we'll have more college football talk. Brent Beard will join me, and we'll go around the Southeastern Conference. We'll talk some Southeastern Conference football with my great friend and longtime college football analyst, Mr. Brent Beard. We'll do that. We're anticipating a 9 o'clock Eastern kick for second helping tonight here on the channel. So that's another part of the Ryer on YouTube channel that you might want to check out if you haven't already. And again, hit that notification bell, hit that subscribe button, pound it. And hit that like button as well, if you don't mind. That would help us out. Travis Ryer, again, thanking you for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube. Have a great rest of your Thursday. And again, join us tonight for Second Helping right here on Ryer on YouTube. So long, everybody.